New York Artists Collective. And welcome to the New York Artists Collective podcast. This next one's about. If you're new to the podcast, well, let me tell you about it. So the New York Artists Collective is a Nashville-style songwriters circle, and we produce shows here in New York City with three songwriters on stage in the round. And this podcast takes one of our artists and has a closer look at one of their songs, how they might introduce it on stage, but we get to go a little bit deeper into that and find out more about their creative process and how it became the song we're going to hear a little later in the show. My name is Stephanie Manz. I am a singer-songwriter and one of the New York Artists Collective producers, and today's guest is Chris Purica, independent artist and singer-songwriter, here to talk about her song Holy. Chris Purica, welcome to the New York Artists Collective podcast. This next one's about. It is a pleasure to have you on the podcast, and I've been a fan of yours for a while. So I am so excited to chat to you about all things music. But firstly, you know, your song we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Holy.
Yeah, thanks. Hi. Yeah, we're going to talk about Holy, which is on my most recent album. It's the second track on there.
It's from Back in the Ring, right? That's your fifth release.
Well, it's also, yeah, it's my last studio release. It came out in 2016. And I wrote the song probably like a year or two before that. Yeah.
There were maybe, was it 5 years between releases?
Yeah, 6 years. So yeah, the How I Learned to See in the Dark came out in 2010.
Okay, so you wrote this towards the tail end of, you know, coming to record the new record.
Yeah, I would say towards the end for sure of the batch of songs. But but the songs on the album kind of span like kind of quite a amount of time. And yeah, this would be like in the latter half of that.
And so what's this song about? How did you come to write this?
Like the big life event that kind of happened in the middle of me like writing this record was that I moved across the country. So I grew up in Connecticut, and I lived in Connecticut and Massachusetts for like all of my adult life. And then I moved to New York for about a year and a half. And then I decided to move across the country to Portland, Oregon. So it was like a pretty big, like, it was a big move. I was moving by myself. I wasn't moving with a partner. And it was just sort of like a starting over moment. And it was just it's just like a lot of new beginnings, a lot of stuff. And I left behind, you know, like family and friends and like a relationship. And the song's a lot about that. But it's largely because I tend to lean pretty heavy into the relationship as theme for my songs. It's sort of like about letting go of that relationship. So there's like these two themes of like kind of, it's sort of like a breakup theme a little bit, but it's also like this sort of like hopeful starting over, like kind of moving to a new place, like starting over from scratch, kind of clean slate experience that, so it's kind of like, I guess it's kind of both of those things together.
I mean, I love how the song sort of lifts. Chords wise, it's very, you know, the same sort of the whole way through, but it just sort of lifts. And I love what you do vocally with that. As a songwriter and a singer myself, like, I just loved sort of what you did there. And it almost kind of, for me, came out of nowhere. And I was like, oh, that's, I love that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it is like one of my like most boring songs on the guitar. Like, it's really real basic, which is something that I actually really like about it. And I think for my writing process, like all of my songs start with a guitar part. And so there's something like when I'm working with something really complicated on the guitar, I end up having a lot less room to be creative vocally. And so what I really liked about writing this song was like being able to just kind of be more creative with the melody and build the song that way instead, which is something that I don't always give myself permission to do or like don't necessarily like focus on as much. So I think that was really nice. And the other like byproduct of that is actually that like it's different to write it lyrically too, because there's so much room kind of. It's like very repetitive. And so I did a lot of stream of consciousness stuff when I was writing this tune, which I have been doing more of as I've made more records, but I kind of just would like mess around with it, kind of like riff on it, and just kind of seeing what was coming to mind. And then I would kind of like harvest the parts that were working. But it all kind of like came together into like something that was actually very sort of specific, which I liked. But anyway, yeah, so the writing process around that was kind of different and kind of nice, like especially compared to some other songs on the record that I wrote really differently.
I'm certainly always surprised by the power of a simple waltz. And yeah, I think certainly for me on the record, that one definitely stands out.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, if some of my favorite songs too, yeah, I mean, I just think that this, like, sometimes the simpler vibe is better. And like, it's not necessarily like more clever, but it just like, it kind of just like lands in this place that feels right.
Should we take a listen to the song?
Sure. Let's do it.
All right. Chris, do you want to introduce it?
Yeah, sure. Well, for those of you listening, I'm Chris Pirica, and this is my song, Holy.
Sing.
So Chris, that was Holy. Again, it's one of my favorites. So thank you very much for choosing to talk about that tonight. And I know that I gave you an option, but I'm really pleased that you decided to go with that one.
That's great. No, that worked out perfectly. I was really hoping to have a conversation about something that you would also be excited about. So that's great. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. And in fact, I'm trying to remember, when was the last time you played New York?
But like my last New York show would have been at Rockwood, I think, last December. Yeah, I've actually largely taken the year off from touring. So the only reason that I can actually remember that in this moment is because I know that I can count on one hand, I think, the domestic shows I played this year.
But you're back in New York City playing at Rockwood December 19th.
Yeah, we're going to go back out there. And we've got New York, and then we've got Philly, D.C., Connecticut, Northampton, and Boston. And we're also doing some shows out here on the West Coast before we head out there, which will be nice. It's like, yeah, it's kind of my first. Well, I was in the Netherlands in September, so that was the other tour that I did. But this is only really my second tour of the year. So I'm excited to get out there and say hi to people and play songs.
How do you find touring? I mean, of the experiences that I've had, I think, you know, towards the end of it or coming off the back of it, I feel so emotionally drained.
Sure.
Are you the same, or do you feel refreshed by it? Do you love going out and meeting people?
It really depends on the tour, to be honest. Like, I think that the tours that I've like loved, like that I've been like so, like had the best time has been when I have more of a band with me. So like there's the camaraderie of like being on the road with a band, and like that part of it is one of my favorite things about touring. You know, like a smaller operation, and like it's not a lot of people, and so that means I'm doing a lot more of the driving, and like I'm doing like the tour managing for myself and everything. Like that kind of vibe is a lot harder as I've gotten older touring without a tour manager, which is like 95% of the tours that I've done. It's that part's really hard. That's why like this run is not very long. It's totally gonna be easy and fun. We're doing two nights in Boston and two nights in Northampton, so we'll have that rare moment on tour where we actually like sleep in the same bed for two nights. So like that'll be nice, you know.
Yeah, and get to see the city during the day.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. How many people are on tour with you this time?
It's just me and Andy, Andy Alcieri, who plays electric guitar with me. And so just two of us. And Iris, of course, my dog.
Oh, obviously.
Oh, it's always Iris, yeah.
As I was saying earlier, I watched that behind-the-scenes video of you putting your album together, and I saw Iris in the video, and I thought, oh, sweet, yeah. Wee sweetheart.
Oh, yeah, she's been great. She loves to tour. She's actually, like, really mad at me right now that we haven't been touring more. She doesn't get to come to the Netherlands because, well, you know.
Yeah.
But so she hasn't been on tour really at all this year, so she's pretty bummed. She's looking forward to December. Loves the attention.
That's so funny. I have these two anxious little sausage dogs, and they hate it when we go anywhere. I have to medicate them. It's great fun.
They don't like to go for the ride?
No, they hate it.
Oh, wow, okay. I mean, Iris will be like, if I'm like even just going to the grocery store, she's like jumping out, like trying to get in the car. Like she's so excited to always be going along. She does not want to be left behind.
So we were saying earlier that you moved from New York to Portland in 2012 after about a year and a half here. You know, how has that move been for you? You know, how did you pick Portland? How did you enjoy New York? You know, what was the... How did it feel for you creatively, and how have things changed for you?
Well, I spent like that year and a half in New York, and I was in a relationship that was like really difficult and like took up like a lot of emotional space for me. I wrote some pretty dark songs when I was there, and overall, like it was, New York is just like sensory overload for me. I'm like a super sensitive person, and I just like didn't adjust well to like how loud like and bright it was, and also just like for me, I'm just not a city kid, so that was all like everything about my experience in New York was really challenging, and I think like moving across the country was also hard, and then but landing in Portland was like a pretty soft landing. It's a really good fit for me. I love all the like the green space and the ability to have like a yard with a garden. So yeah, that's been like a contrast for sure. But I grew up like right outside of New York, and have like three of my best friends live there, and I'm there all the time visiting. It's just not for me in terms of a living arrangement. But Portland's great, and that's been a really positive thing. And I mean, this about the song, I mean, it's kind of like there's a little bit of like this kind of like co-opting this kind of language around like the cultural mythology we have around like going west. Just this idea of like there's this other place where there's all this opportunity, you know. So just kind of like using that as a theme. But I mean, largely I just really love it here. Portland's it's a really great city. It's like I find it's one of the only places that I've ever visited even that I felt like I fit in.
You know, I think when we find somewhere that feels like home and you settle and you're like, oh, this is me now. It's lovely, and I think it really informs, obviously it informs who you are, it informs your writing process. And it sounds like, you know, for you, it's, you know, you've been writing more positive songs in Portland than you have been, you know, prior to that. So yeah, I think that sounds like a very positive move for you, and I'm sure your fans love it as well.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's interesting. Yeah. I think like, it's hard to say like how much about the songs were like the really dark ones, like how much of that was also about like being in like a relationship that was also not a good fit.
Right.
And then being out of it.
Yeah, fair.
It was another, it's not like a control group where like, where the relationship stayed the same, but the place changed. Like there was a lot of changes.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I came across as well, that you have an independent record label, Sad Rabbit Records. What was the decision in behind that in terms of, you know, being independent and setting up your own label?
I mean, I think it started out to sort of like I was just already doing that. I was already releasing my records myself. And then I kind of made it official after, I guess, the second record. But like, I don't think that the way of like the mainstream has never really been my flow. I just never really was interested in being really deep in the industry vibes. I didn't want to like, I've heard a lot of horror stories. I know people that have had bad experiences. And I actually did end up signing with an independent label in Germany for my last two records for the European territories. And labels are just, it's hard, you know, there's a lot going into it. I mean, it depends on the label for sure. But I felt like for me, like I always just kind of wanted to do the independent thing. It seemed pretty clear to me. But, you know, that came with its own set of like cons. Not having the industry support and not having like a bunch of money behind is obviously means that less people hear your music. And so I definitely get both sides of the coin. And I feel really good about having done that and having had all the control over my releases and my music. And and also I understand why people do it differently, and I would consider doing stuff differently in the future, like depending on whatever circumstances I find myself in, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's interesting, I think, over the years, you know, watching some artists, and I think it's a great example of how well it can do for artists.
Yeah, sure. I mean, obviously there's Ani DeFranco.
Right, like, of course.
Pioneer of that, and she's been like wildly successful. I think another artist that I'm a big fan of who went that route is Gillian Welch, who mm-hmm. I think her first record was on a major, and then I think they got dropped, and then she was like, well, I'll just release this myself. And I think for people like Gillian Welch starting out on a major and then going off on your own, I think that the kind of bump from having that initial infusion of like money and excitement, I think that was really helpful in both of their cases. And that's one cool way to do it. But I think like I've really enjoyed that part of it. And I think like I get to, you know, each record I get to kind of cater and pick like who I want to work with. And Just be involved in whatever parts of it I want to be involved in. And that feels good to me. That's always felt really good.
And just circling back to your latest release, Back in the Ring, I noticed that you'd said you used a number of different musicians. You know, I think at some point you had like three drummers and you had a few different guitarists and so on. And I was just wondering what you know, drove that decision. I mean, do you constantly work with, you know, different artists and you wanted to have different influences on the record versus, you know, consistently working with one group of people?
So, like, on this last record... I mean, basically, I've kind of always done that. I've not really hired like a band to specifically play on an entire record, for the most part. And it's largely because I find that like I don't think I have like a specific sound or like sonic vibe that I want to apply to everything. I think that like my songs, like I kind of want them to like kind of each stand out on their own. And I think that, so basically I find people that I think will work well with each song.
That's a really interesting approach. I don't think I know many people who've done it that way.
Yeah, I guess that is funny. Yeah, that's kind of how I've always done it. I see it as like this really cool opportunity to make each song be like the best it can be. And so I kind of want to give it that opportunity. And I don't know, like, so, like, I'll go and I'll play with a drummer and we'll play five, I'll be like, here's five songs that I think you might be good at, or, like, that might write cool parts for, and then maybe, like, two of them, I'll be like, those parts are amazing, like, let's do this, and then the other three songs, I'll be like, cool, I'm gonna take these songs to, like, someone else and see what they have to offer. I also think like if you're the kind of person who's like constantly playing with a band, constantly touring with a band, then probably like that band will end up being on all of your songs. But like I don't really work like that. Like each tour is kind of different, and I'll bring different people out for different tours. And
that's the benefits of being an independent musician or an artist. You get to do it however you want. So Chris, December 19th, you are back at Rockwood.
I'm gonna trust you that. The right day.
I checked online today.
I think you're right.
I am fairly certain it is December 19th at Rockwood.
I appreciate it.
I think doors are at 7 p.m. And I'm sure your show time is possibly something like 8 p.m.
Cool. You got this.
Thank you. Yeah, I try and do my homework.
Good on.
And where can people get tickets? Obviously, Rockwood's website, I think, which is rockwoodmusichall.com.
Sure.
Can they get them from your website as well?
Yeah, there's a link on my website as well. And also, like, you know, the list of the other tour dates for the other places that we're playing. And there's a link right on my site. So that would be the best way.
I will come along to the show on the 19th. I'm looking forward to seeing you play.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And thank you again for discussing Holy. It's, you know, my favorite song. So I'm looking forward to playing it live. <That's awesome. laughs>
Yeah, we'll definitely be playing.
Good
so
stuff.
Much.
All right, thanks, Chris.
Really appreciate it. Cheers.
Chris Pirica there and her song Holy. Did I mention it was one of my favourites? Just, you know, like once. I totally fangirled there, didn't I? Oh well. I can at least play it cool on December 19th at Rockwood Music Hall. If you're free, by all means, you should come along. Links to Chris's site and the show are in the podcast details, so do come along and check her out live. Next week on This One's About, I will be talking to Micah Wood, pop country soul sensation who's just about to appear on USA Network's new show, Real Country. So if you haven't already, subscribe to our podcast, NY Artist Collective on the iTunes podcast app. I'm Stephanie Manns. See you next time. New York Artist Collective.